Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Each week, of course, we bring on new guests and talk about different aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight we have a very exciting show. I'm very excited. Our show is about energetic healing, and our guest is Marla Phillips, who is actually a minister of healing and the founder of Adventure Within. Now, for those of you who've listened to this show, I've done a couple of episodes on healing, alternative healing methods, and it's always been very popular, so tonight should be very interesting. Our guest, Marla Phillips, found herself drawn to healing in the mid-1980s after experiencing a dramatic self-healing and healing others. And today, she has studied the field extensively and has been practicing spiritual healing since 1989. Today, she's going to share her dramatic and touching journey, sharing some of the cases she has worked on and revealing many of the secrets of psychic and energy healing, how you can use it to change your life for the better. She has helped a number of people, and I think she's got a great deal of insight into this phenomena, so I'm really, really excited to have her. She's been trained at the Thomas Institute of Metaphysics and has studied hermetic teachings, vetted DNA training, scalar waves, and I'm not sure if I can even pronounce this, Qigong. And again, the website, her website is www.adventurewithin, if you'd like to learn more about Marla. Marla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you all for tuning in.
Yeah,
that was a wonderful intro. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, and if there's anyone out there who wants to call in, this is a call-in show, so I'll give you the number right now. If you want to grab a pen, the number to call in is 877-270-8714. And Marla, I'm sure we have to answer any questions from guests out there. So Marla, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good today. And I was looking forward to this afternoon so you and I can share with everybody what's going on in the energy healing field these days. Primarily, I can share with you what my experience has been. And I do know a lot of other healers because we've been going through this journey together over the last, I'd say, 10, 20 years. And it's interesting to see where it's going in the world of medicine and just the world of spiritual growth.
Right, right. It's finally getting accepted and really used now, I think, for the first time. Let me just start off by saying you don't have to convince me that it's real. I've experienced it firsthand. Let me just tell you briefly about this one incident with this lady.
Okay.
Her name is Elise, and we were hiking one day, and she just had the impulse to do some energy work on me. Now, I had heard of it, of course, but never experienced it. And she asked permission. I said, of course, yes, of course you can. And she took her hands and put them on the soles of my feet. I sat down. And then she started to put energy through the soles of my feet, and I had never felt anything like this. It really felt like electric shocks going up my legs. And it was very dramatic and just unbelievably powerful. So, I mean, I knew right then and there that this was real. And I've experienced other incidences with her as well. So I am convinced that there's something to this.
Well, I work very much like she does. I work from the ground up. I know there are other healing techniques that pull the energy in from above, but I am one of those people that believe in being grounded. We're on this planet, so we're going to use the electromagnetic field from the Earth's energy and move it up into the body.
Interesting.
In a way, using the energies for healing is very much like being a conductor. I know you've heard me say that, I consider my practice as personal training for mind, body, and spirit.
Right.
It's because I work on, all those different levels with my clients. But basically, I run the energy, and there are different frequencies of energies you use, and all of those are really kind of guided. I had to laugh when you and I first talked about this, and you asked me about my psychic healing. And, it's funny because I never really thought of it as psychic. For me, it was natural healing. We live in these beautiful, miraculous bodies that are designed to heal themselves. So it seems only natural that we work with the body that already knows how to do that.
Right. Right. So, I mean, well, how did this all start for you then? I mean, were you always into healing?
No, not at all. Preston, a funny thing happened on the way to the Emmys. I actually came out to Hollywood to pursue my acting career. And they always say people come to Hollywood to be discovered. I now believe that people come to Hollywood to discover themselves. And that's kind of what unfolded since I got here. Actually, nothing in my life has ever happened in an ordinary way, even as an actress. And I don't know, it was just being on the West Coast or what. The first telltale sign was having a psychic reading. Of course, I was going to the reading to find out about my acting career. And this woman said to me, "You're not going to be happy, but your guides are telling me you'd make a great psychic healer." And I'm like, "What? What are you talking about?" They said, "You'd make a great teacher, but you don't want to hear that." And, you know, I took this on. I was like, yeah, let's get to the acting stuff. But I walked away, and I really couldn't ignore it. I just couldn't ignore it. And as my career, you know, as I was working in the acting industry, you know, there were a lot of weird things that started happening. One of the theater companies I was with, not knowing, was called the Theater of Light. I was there briefly, and it was kind of interesting. The piano teacher, when I used to go study voice, I would look in her library, and she'd have all these books of Alice Bailey. It was like, what's going on here? It was just, you know, and I was there a little bit. And the most significant thing when everything started falling into place as I was being pushed, I was doing a show for quite a few years, and I had created my own character called Raven. And when I took on this character, I really started taking on the Raven itself, like the bird. I studied the bird. And when I started performing as Raven that night, I started hearing native drumming in my head.
Wow.
And I was actually tapping into some kind of native spirit guide without knowing it. And just about that time is when I was introduced to the Healing Light Center Church, and that was my main training. She, you know, I was trained by Reverend Rosalind Bruyere, who is the real deal. I had spent the last few years before that, I had dabbled in a healing crystal healing class. I got involved with some really weird groups out there. I played Guru Buster at one point in time. And then, oddly enough, because after this whole thing with this guy that was manipulating people, there's a lot of scary people out there. You really got to be careful. There was this woman that came into my life. I almost turned my back on it all, saying, this stuff is just too weird, you know? And oddly enough, there was this woman who I got introduced through something that had to do with some acting thing I did. And she just worked in meditation with pink quartz and crystals that she said, and you'll love this, that were from the Pleiades.
Oh, wow.
And we would sit, and we'd meet once a week or stuff, and the energy was just so delightful and so non-threatening, and it allowed me to stay open to, I guess, what I was going on to next. So there I was, training with perhaps this country's most notable energy healer, and I had no clue why I was there, except that I couldn't stay away. And that went on for like 10 years, and I became her assistant and all that kind of stuff. And as spirit would have it, I was working in Los Angeles. I had just gotten a new day job, as they say in the industry. And I got there. I was there a week, and they said, oh, we're moving to Glendale. I moved to Glendale, and it was right down the block where Rosalind, I had met her maybe a week or two before, and that's where the school was. So every bone in my body knew I was supposed to be there.
Right. It's like
just
destiny.
Didn't know why. Just didn't know why. So, you know,
so
I stayed. Yeah?
Your guys are obviously working hard for you.
I guess. But, you know, even in my acting career, you know, I just really feel like I've been blessed with the best teachers. Teachers that have always been there for me,
right.
You know, and just made it available. And I think being an actor really was a really wonderful gift, because really that's all I wanted to ever do was have a sitcom. So I was what they called a reluctant healer. It's like, please, just give me a sitcom.
Wow.
But it just didn't work that way. somebody has other plans for me. So that's kind of where it began, and I really accepted myself as a healer after working on Rosalind one day, and I'm like, oh, thank you for letting me work on you. And she was like, I would let you work on me anytime. And that, to me, was a really big deal.
What does it feel like when you're conducting a healing? I mean, can you actually feel the energy running through your body then?
Sure. My hands feel like they're alive. And it's interesting, too, because there are different frequencies of energies that I work with. I mean, I have also, you know, I can actually run colored energy. Like, if I'm working with the first chakra, I will actually work with a red color and use that. And part of being a healer and being trained is to know what you need for what in conjunction with what you do intuitively.
So the different colors that would have different effects on the body, or?
Yeah. I mean, you know, each chakra has a different energy and a different purpose. And sometimes, like I said, it's like playing an instrument. You start working one way, you see that's not working, so you'll go into something else in different frequencies. And there's certain diseases where you want to confuse the energy in the cells so they remember who they are. So it really is an art. It really is an art.
You know, it seems, I'm just fascinated by this subject and about energy in general because, you know, I've had a number of out-of-body experiences, and in a couple of them, or at least, I mean, in one of them, I was taken to somebody and told to heal them. And I stuck my hands inside their body. And I'm not sure if they were physical or astral, really, because I hardly remember the incident, sort of. I just barely was able to recall it.
Uh-huh.
So I remember actually doing this healing, thinking, wow. And, you know, I've had other experiences like that and become a little bit sensitive to these energies. And I remember one time my brother took a crystal. And he said, turn around and see if you can tell me where I'm pointing this crystal at your back. And he was just like inches away, and I could feel exactly where it was each time. And he verified it. So I'm just fascinated by
the, well, the crystal itself, it really kind of intensifies an energy, right?
So
it makes sense. It's behind your back. It's probably pushing against your aura. And your aura is the first thing that really hits with anything. You know, and something, like even disease has to get through your aura before it can get to you and you get sick. So that's why it's so good to have a healthy and strong aura around you.
Well, is this an ability that anybody has or anybody can become sensitive to?
I would say, like I said, our bodies are designed that way. So my answer would be yes. I think it is something that can be learned. I also think, you know, just like a painter or a dancer, you know, you can learn how to dance. Some people have more of a knack for it than others. And I think it also helps to have a mediumistic personality.
Right.
You know, but again, like anything else, if you do it long enough, it's going to come.
Wow.
You know, if you really get into it, especially if you're working with energy that's, you know, it's not coming from me. You know what I mean? We're like working with divine energy here. So it's not me doing the healing. I'm just the vehicle that it's working through.
Wow. Fascinating.
You know, and I try to be the cleanest filter I can be for it. And one of my responsibilities as a healer is making sure that, you know, I'm running energy through me. I'm not using my own energy. And I need to stay strong. You got to be, somebody just said this to me and I loved it. You have to be stronger than your job. So that's completely true.
Wow. Well, you know, in my out-of-body studies, I found out that we supposedly not only have, you know, a physical body and an astral body, but seven bodies. So we have the physical, the etheric, the astral, the buddhic, and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these are apparently our auras. The etheric would stretch out like a few inches, whereas the bigger bodies, this aura stretches out supposedly for miles and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, there was this couple of occasions, I have to admit, I would say I've seen people's auras just a couple of times, maybe once or twice. My sister-in-law and once a teacher, I saw flashes of light. And it was really dramatic, and I just wondered what you thought about auras and and how that relates to healing?
I personally don't see them. I mean, I've seen a few here and there. It's interesting enough. It's easy for me to see auras when somebody's on stage, which I think is kind of amusing. Once in a while, I can see it. I'm much more kinesthetic. I feel things. I kind of know things. But I did have this is where, you know, worlds collide. When I was acting, I had a manager. And my manager also managed a company that had an aura camera. So she decided she would put me together with the aura camera. And we would take a picture of a person. And if something was really out of whack, I would go in there and do a little energy balancing, and we'd take a second picture. Now, I wasn't always convinced, and I'm still not really convinced whether any of this was true or not. I'll be honest with you.
Right.
But we did sometimes see dramatic changes in the field. Let's keep in mind here, your aura is always changing color. It's always moving. So if you take a picture on an aura camera, it's not going to be exactly the same. But when you see it dramatically change from one color to another, then, you know, she kept saying to me, you have no blue and you have no green in your field. You know, I have a lot of red, a lot of gold. And it's interesting because those are the colors I channel really well for healing. So, you know, there's something to that somewhere, you know?
Right.
So I would play this game where myself, since I had access to the camera, where I would try to turn my aura blue. And then after maybe 3 days, I finally was able to do that.
Oh, how interesting.
So, you know, again, you're a researcher. You know, those are the fun things if you have the luxury to sit around and do that.
Right, right. Well, I love doing experiments because once, you know, I was, this was actually an experience I had with that same lady, Elise, who's a good friend.
Uh-huh.
She's had UFO experiences and a lot of really bizarre experiences. And at any rate, she was sitting there, and I just reached out casually and started massaging her shoulders, and I thought, I'll send her a blast of healing energy,
uh-huh.
which I did, you know, just never having done this ever, really.
Mm-hmm.
And she leapt off the stool and said, wow, you just sent me a blast of really strong healing energy. And I'm like, you can feel that? I was amazed. Here's another thing, you know, I was wondering if you had ever measured your ability, because one day my dad brought out this old-fashioned battery detector with two separate leads, not your normal kind. It has these wires that lead out, and you can hold one in each hand, and it measures the voltage in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's what we decided to do, just to see if we could measure our own voltage, which
mm-hmm.
we did. We went around the house and measured everyone's, and the needle went to pretty much the same spot on everybody, except for mine. It went, like, twice as high.
Well, it sounds like you and I need to get together, Preston. I mean, that's where the training works so well for me. I mean, I feel so good the way I was trained. I mean, I actually have a bachelor's in the theology of sacred healing because I did go through a program. Mind you, it was a 4-year program, and I was there for like 10 years. But it's here you have this ability, and obviously I carried this ability with me without even knowing it. But really learning how to use it to the best ability is so exciting.
I feel like,
back to the personal training aspect of what I do, I first want to work on my clients, whatever they came to see me for, whether they're, you know, having a problem with disease or they're stressed or, you know, maybe they're just trying to make a life change, get rid of the negativity. One of the things I like to do with them is train them how to be self-sufficient with their energy. You know? That way everybody, you know, it's like, you know, heal yourself, heal the planet. You know, just take care of your own backyard. Everybody's backyard will look great together.
Well,
so,
you have this amazing list of people who you've helped and all these amazing cases. I mean, people you've actually physically healed. Some of these cases are truly incredible. What would you say are some of the more dramatic, you know, energetic healings you've experienced?
You know, it's so funny. I hear you say that. To me, it's like, okay, we did a healing. You know, to me, they don't seem that dramatic. To me, they just seem like, you know, we helped. It worked. Everybody worked together. You know? I think the most dramatic for me was Ruby. And right now, I'm telling you, during the show, I think we need to send Ruby out prayers because she's going through yet another challenge. This woman is amazing. She's in her 80s. And she's actually a friend of mine who is a wonderful astrologer. And she actually was misdiagnosed and ended up in emergency New Year's Eve. I think now it was maybe 1 or 2 years ago. And her foot had turned blue, and they were looking at amputation.
Wow.
And Patrice, my friend, called me and said, can you send out your healing prayers, you know, put her on your list, whatever. And I said, honey, I need to get there. You know, I can't do that from here. And, you know, I went into, it was a clot in her leg, and they thought she was just having, you know, back pains. And they were going to have to amputate because there was no circulation going through the leg. And I went into ICU and, you know, really worked on her and came back the next day. By the second day, we started getting a pulse.
Wow.
And the color started coming back on her leg. And I had never, you know, each case is a challenge. I don't know what I can do and can't do at this point. You know what I mean? You know, I'm still building my track record here. So,
well, don't limit yourself, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, I like challenging cases. So we did actually get a pulse back in the leg. We got some color back. And the end story was, I remember the second night, it was like, get the nurse in here quick. We got a pulse. And she verified that there was a pulse there. And unfortunately, they still had to amputate her leg because she didn't walk a lot. So the circulation wasn't so good. The good news is they didn't amputate it from the hip. So they just got it below the knee to make it a little easier. So, I mean, everybody looked at that as a win. I, on the other hand, of course, wanted the complete miracle. But again, I'm there for the process. I can't be attached to the outcome. You know what I mean?
Right.
So everybody takes a part of the healing process. And, you know, sometimes it's a person's lesson. Sometimes they still have to go through it.
If someone is, like, skeptical or they're kind of blocked, I mean, would that negatively possibly affect the healing in a negative way? You know what I mean?
Well, you mean if they don't believe in the healing itself?
Right.
Well, you know, this is what I have to say. Our thoughts are creative, right? And we develop our belief systems, right? So
right.
if you believe in something, you're in a place of all possibilities, right? If you don't believe in something, is it still possible? You know, perhaps it is. I mean, I personally believe it is.
Right.
And that's why I'm doing the healing in the healing room. You know what I mean? So even if they're not 100% there, I am, and I believe that it can happen. So, you know, I am creating a sacred space for that to happen. You know, the rest is up to the big spirit.
So how do you prepare for a healing? And afterwards, do you have to cleanse yourself or anything like that?
Yeah, I would do that. To prepare for healing, for, you know, like I said before, I try to stay in a prepared state all the time because that's the way I live my life. I live my life as a healer. So, you know, I got to walk my talk, as they say. But usually when I, you know, I usually have a day of seeing 4 or 5 clients. You know, each one is individual. I want to connect with everyone individually, and I want to separate the energies from each person. I do start one-on-one with a silent prayer. I don't know that they know that I'm praying over them. And that way I'm connecting their energy with my energy and my guides and their guides and source. And together we take that sacred time together and work on what we've chosen to work on for that session.
Wow.
And yes, I do cleansing afterwards.
So you can do more than one healing per day?
Oh, sure. Yes. Hey, once you get buzzing, you want to keep going.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I have felt, you you know, as energies and stuff. And one time I went to visit a medium who was actually a physical medium.
Uh-huh.
And she could, I guess you call it table tipping. And she'd just lay one fingertip on a table and it would just lift right up.
Uh-huh.
And it was amazing. And I experimented with her for a while to the point where I was able to get the energy flowing through me, and I was able to make the table move by myself. And I could feel this energy flowing through me. And my sister-in-law, she's actually does Reiki, I believe you call it.
Uh-huh.
And she's experienced also some dramatic stuff like that. So when you're doing these healings and you're feeling this, like, heat, this heat
mm-hmm.
blasting out of your hands, this,
uh-huh.
does your whole body become hot? I mean, the other people are feeling this heat as well, right?
My whole body doesn't get hot. My hands get really hot. Sometimes I don't feel like that hot, but the patient is going, oh, my God, your hands are so hot.
Wow.
So, you know, and again, and it's amazing how the body works, where the energy really goes where it needs to go.
Can you sense that, like, when the healing is actually being done then? And can you feel, like, changes in the
yes.
aura or energy?
Yes. You know, I've been trained to first do an overall. We do a complete balance on the person, time permitting, of course, unless we have an emergency going or something. We just first balance out the whole system. And then once you get the system balanced, then kind of guided to, you know, you can tell sometimes, and the basis changes. Sometimes you're kind of pulled over to where the body, there's a different temperature. It's either hot or cold, and your hands are drawn to that place where the body needs energy. And sometimes it can be hot, and it needs to take the energy off, and sometimes it's cold, and it needs the energy to be put in.
So illness is just a blockage of energy, mainly? Is that what illness would be?
Well, you know, it's a combination of things. You know, I wish it would be that easy to say that. A lot of times, again, we talked about if you keep a strong aura, if you're well balanced, it's really hard for that stuff to get in when you're
okay.
depleted, you know, and you're all tensed up, you know, and you got all this blocked energy. What happens with the blocked energy? The toxins stay in there. You know what I'm saying? And if
right.
the toxins are in there, and they're not released, they're going to build up and they're going to cause some kind of problem. It's a block. You know, it can be mental, it can be physical. We have that, you know, people with mental blocks too. You know, how many times, you know, they even say, you know, depression, if somebody's depressed for a long time, they normally, you know, conjure up some kind of disease. You know, it's just all, it's so interrelated.
Right.
Can't really separate it.
Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs in the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Marla Phillips, and she's talking about energy healing and the very interesting work she's done with this for many, many years now, and it's just a fascinating subject. So what about sound healing? I've been a little bit of research into that as well, and certain... I mean, I believe that there is some validity to that. What do you know? I mean, like music,
I'm all for it.
Example.
I'm all for sound and color. I'm all for all of it. You know, I really do believe in incorporating all the senses. And I, once again, my work as an actor really has led me up to this moment, right, this moment now. I mean, as an actor, we're really trained in transformation. And, you know, we call upon all the different types of sensory to get us there, and we use whatever we can use to get us where we need to go. And sound is one of them, you know. How many times you put music on to get you in the mood?
Right.
Color. Yeah. Every color affects you differently. And,
well,
you know, Preston, these are all parts of the healing arts in ancient Egypt.
Right. And science has caught up to this. I mean, they put like, green in hospitals and other institutions to calm the patients, and I've
right.
heard about a recent study where they brought harps in to, you know, harpists
uh-huh.
into hospital rooms to help people heal, and
uh-huh.
it's worked phenomenally. I think one of the most interesting cases of sound and healing has been done by the Robert Monroe Institute, in which they use hemisync sounds to put people into a sort of a trance state, and it speeds up their healing immensely.
So, you know, we do, we really truly do have all these other means to use, you know, and just like all the UFO stuff, everything's not proven till it's proven.
Right? Okay, now.
You're not famous until you're famous.
Well, here's another question for you, and this is something that I've always found kind of interesting, and there's a lot of healers out there who do sessions, and they do it remotely. I mean, over the phone even, which I've actually
had a
healing done over the phone with somebody. And so remote healing, is that possible?
Remote healing, is that possible? I don't know how it happens, but yes, it's possible, and I've seen it work. I've done it. Yeah. You know, my guess is that it works on the same frequency as prayer, except with energy, you know, with an energy remote healing, the energy is being manipulated in a good way, you know, with the person's permission, of course, and the person receiving it.
Right.
But, yes, and I have done remote healing a lot of times. As a matter of fact, I had an incident just last week. A dear friend of mine, his cat was very ill and on his way out, and we did some remote healing over the phone. And it was interesting for me and hard for me because this is a good friend of mine. The first night I worked on the cat wasn't taking any energy, and that was weird for me. And I said, you know, how do I tell him this? And from my silence and my awkwardness, I think he figured it out on his own. But to my surprise, he called me the next night and said, can we do this again? And I said, sure. The next night, the cat took the energy. And at one point, I said to him, you know, I kind of feel like the cat's stretching out his paws. And he went, well, he just moved his paws. So, you know, it's got to work. How would I know? You know what I mean? I just sensed it. The second night, he took the energy. And every time my friend left the room, he meowed. And then the third day, he left us. He made the transition.
Wow.
But the nice part about it is, you know, nobody had to give the cat a shot. He was left on his own. He went the natural way.
Right. Well,
and, you know, the way I look at this, this is all natural healing.
I just wish it would be more used and more common. I mean, I heard of one case where this lady had a near-death experience, and she actually died and drowned clinically and was revived, as was her son, who was pronounced brain dead. However, she was had this lengthy near-death experience in which angels told her how to heal her son. They said all she had to do was bring in a line of people who would actually just put their hands on him and send him healing energy. If she could get, like, a certain number of people to do this, her son would revive.
Uh-huh.
The doctors, of course, were skeptical because he was clinically, you know, brain dead and wasn't showing the signs of life. But she did it anyway. She had total faith. And her boy did, in fact, wake up and was fine and is fine.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I know who you're talking about.
Right. It's, I forget, Shelley Yates.
Uh-huh.
That's her name.
Yeah, I have heard that story. And that's great. That's somebody who listens to spirit.
Right. And there's, you know, it's interesting because there's all these other healing cases that have taken place to out-of-body explorers, which, of course, I'm really interested in because, you know, that's something I've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself got rheumatoid arthritis and haven't been able to actually do some self-healings in the astral state. And I read a bunch of other cases. I was shocked to find out how many people have used these energies to heal themselves. Terrell Wilson, he's had a common cold, and he was able to cure himself by connecting to these astral energies. So do you think that is what is taking place? Is it, where are these energies coming from? What are they? Is it the white light?
Well, they are all energies, and I can't say that I really know the answer to all of this. To be honestly, I know I work with the electromagnetic energy of the Earth. But then again, you know, I work from above as below, and sometimes I pull the energy from my crown chakra and my feet for the first chakra, and I like to meet it at the heart, which is the transitional point from, you know, one to the other. And that way I have the best of both worlds, as they say. But, you know, again, with anything else, you've got to know what you're playing with.
Well, is it possible to do self-healings then? I mean,
they say don't heal yourself, that you shouldn't really work on yourself, to, you know, have somebody else, but I've worked on myself a lot. You know, I've even put my finger back together after a wound once.
Wow.
It was like, I'm not going to emergency.
Well, there's so many different types of alternative healing. You know, I wrote a book on UFO healings.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting to compare them to healings that are done here on Earth, because a lot of them were done surgically, but there was a portion of these so-called alien healings in which the ETs did not use any instruments at all. They just laid their hands over the people and did a hands-on healing.
Hmm.
So apparently this is a universal thing.
It's sort of like universal law, huh?
Well, I mean, it's fascinating.
Am I surprised? Well, no. I'm not surprised at all.
Well,
no.
Now, say you're just walking along and you see someone who's suffering intense pain. Is it fair to just send them some healing energy and
you know,
without their permission?
You almost can't help yourself. If I see, especially I see somebody walking that's having a real hard time walking, I can tell they're in pain. I mean, usually I just send a prayer or a white light, but I have to say once in a while, I do throw a little energy out to that back.
Wow.
You know, sometimes I just have to do it. Just give them a little support.
Well, I don't think it could hurt. I mean, it could definitely help a lot.
Uh-huh. It's just the way I'm built.
It's very interesting. You know, I heard about the study of a placebo study.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And this is actually a recent revelation about there's this medicine you take for healthy joints, MSM or something?
MSM.
And they found out that people who took a placebo experienced
mm-hmm.
the same exact effect. And there's many, many cases where the placebo works as well.
Well, they always do that in case studies with medicine. They always do a placebo. It's always in, you know, which just goes to show you. Now, mind is so amazing, and we all know we only use a certain portion of the brain.
Well, it's
you know, again, we are an amazing instrument.
You know, if you watch TV these days, there's all these commercials of these medicines that, and they start listing the side effects, which include, you know, even death several times.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on? This, you know, we have to.
Yeah.
The alternative healing field is really, I think, going to become hugely popular very shortly, as you know, more and more evidence.
Preston,
comes
I can't tell you how troubling those commercials are to me.
Oh.
I can't tell you how troubling they are. Not only, you know, comically, the fact that the side effects are much worse than the disease. I actually know somebody who died from medicine they took for, like, toe fungus.
Oh.
You know? But the sad part of me is, you know, unfortunately, our society is so being fed fear that, you know, we absorb all these commercials, and it's not even subliminal. And we got people walking around with all these diseases that, you know, again, you know, what you focus on, you know, I wish they had more, you know, positive commercials.
Right. Marla, I couldn't agree with you more. There's this one commercial that blurs out, you have a headache. I have to instantly turn it off because it's subliminally trying to give me a headache.
Right. You know, there's a lot of people that don't watch the news. You know, all that is feeding how much overload can you take. And whether you realize whether you're zoning out or not, you're still absorbing it on some level. You know, I think people need to be more positive in not only their thinking, their way of treating each other. I'm real old-fashioned. I believe in the golden rule. You know, treat people like you want to be treated. Don't scare people to death.
Right. Well, you know, doing this
it's really scary.
Doing this work, I mean, it must be really rewarding for you, changing people's lives. And the list of people you have who, you know, say you've done a great job is really impressive.
And, thank you.
I'm just really amazed that. So, I mean, is this a rewarding?
Is that the reward?
Is this your true calling? Is it very rewarding for you?
You know, is this my true calling? I don't know. I thought acting was my true calling. So I'm just kind of open to see, you know. I had a gift that that was revealed to me that I really didn't know I carried. I did have a clue that I do carry this certain kind of energy that can affect people in a good way. On the same note is I got to be really careful with my energy because, you know, I could say something that, you know, I don't think is that harsh, but, boy, you can feel it. You know what I mean? So I have to take responsibility for the energy I carry.
Wow.
You know, what might just, you know, somebody else might just take as, oh, well, somebody else will, like, go, whoa. So, you know, everything, you know, there's two sides to everything. it really takes, you know, I really need to be responsible for what I can do in a lot of ways. I need to be responsible for each and every individual I work with. You know, I like the fact that I do work one-on-one and their privacy is really important to me. It's just there's a moment during a healing, Preston, that this is what is worth everything. There's a moment when I am working with somebody, usually they're in like the zone, as I call it. You know, we start off usually laughing and everything. There's always laughing in my healing sessions, whether
right.
somebody has been going through chemotherapy or not. You know
well,
what I mean? We always get laughing going. As a matter of fact, I know you didn't mention, but I do work out of the Pacific Wellness Group in right here in Hollywood, right in the heart of Hollywood, we have a wellness group that I work out of, and you can always hear laughter coming in and out of that building, whether it's me, whether it's the chiropractor. It's, you know, the philosophy of the place is no stress.
Wow.
But there's a moment in a healing when somebody's on a table where they're in the zone, as I say. They're quiet, their eyes are closed, they're out, and there's just a quiet moment with me and them, and this big smile comes across my face. And it's like I am connecting with their higher self, and their higher self is connecting with me in all its wholeness and all its purity and all its healthiness. And I acknowledge it, and I acknowledge the person for their wholeness and their goodness. And there's just this feeling of joy that comes through me. And that is what, to me, is most rewarding about doing the work. When I get that out of a healing, it just amazes me. It's so intimate. It's like being
wow.
so intimate with that person's soul.
Well,
and I don't usually tell people about this, and now I'm telling everybody on air. Oh.
Well, can you ever get too connected and, like, emotionally involved, or would you ever, like, take on the pain or any aspects of their illness?
Well, being the empath that I am, sometimes I'll be working on somebody, and I'll go, you feeling a little nauseous now? And they'll go, yes. But I always need to check in, is this me or is this somebody else? And,
wow.
you know, it's my way of knowing what's going on in the body. And I take it as such, but I don't keep it. I disconnect. You have to energetically disconnect. And, you know, there are times where I've gotten, you know, zapped. It happens. Part of the job.
Wow. Now, would you describe what you're doing as Reiki? Or, I mean, there's different kinds of energy healing.
It's laying on a hand. It's like your UFO guys. It's laying on a hand. Yeah.
Wow. Now, what about, like, these other types of healing you studied? Like Qigong, is that what it's called?
Qigong. I love Qigong. I really so believe in the martial arts. I think martial arts are a great way of collecting qi. Whether you call it qi, kundalini, it's gathering energy. And there comes a certain time in life, after your teenage years, after your 30s, where it doesn't come so naturally and you need to go out and get it. Even going to the gym, even out walking, hiking, it's good ways of gathering energy, creating energy for yourself. And Qigong is a very interesting exercise that had been brought into my life by two different people I respected. And it takes about 20 minutes. We call it waving a hands. It's really not complicated. It's not meditative. And it grounds you, and it balances your organs out. It balances your body, mind, body, and spirit. It really, really does.
Wow.
And there's times that I do it three times a day. There's times that I do it once a day. There's times when I don't do it at all, and I want to kick myself by late afternoon. and it's something I teach. You know, as a matter of fact, I have one of my clients now. We're working through it together. So any kind of martial arts is a great way of gathering energy. Even salsa dancing. Salsa dancing is a great way of gathering energy.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
You know, salsa dancing, you're working with red energy. That's all life force.
Wow. It's just fascinating stuff.
My whole mainstay of, you know, what I work with is really the training I did at the Healing Light Center Church. I mean, we really covered everything there. It's funny, the Thomas Institute of Metaphysics, like I said, each and every part of my journey has just been so interesting how it happened. I was on search after being to, you know what's really funny even about my psychic readings? When
right.
I was younger and used to go for psychic readings, they always used to say, you should be reading me. And I'd go, huh?
Oh.
You know, I never felt, I just figured everybody thought and saw things the way I did. and this would very much, you would be amused by this. When I was growing up, I had one grandmother who lived in the Bronx in New York, and I had another grandmother that lived in Florida. Both of them read cards, right? Not tarot cards, but regular reading cards. So I decided one day I was going to test to see if this was real. So I was with one grandmother, and she did a reading for me. And about 3 hours later, I knew we were going to see the other grandmother. And I had her do a reading for me. And they were both the same.
Wow.
So you know, I've always been in love with this stuff. I, you know, growing up, Peter Pan, you know, not only that, I knew Peter Pan. My dad worked on Broadway. I grew up in show business, around show business, and I knew Mary Martin, who played Peter Pan. So, you know, I was attached to the stars from the very beginning.
Wow. So what does your family and friends think about your healing profession, so to speak?
Oh, I think they're not sure. that crazy girl. You know, the nicest thing happened. My mom came out to visit here in the end of August, and she came over to the healing center and had her first real treatment on a healing table in a healing space, as opposed to me being at her house and you know, trying to run energy on her. And again, I always felt like they're always trying to appease me by letting me do it. But
right.
It was the first time she had a full healing, and she did go into the zone. And she does have a lot of problems now with her spine, and you know, has a limp going on, and she's dealing with that. But when she got out of there, she started bopping down the street, and she said for the first time she really, really, really felt the difference. So I think for the first time she really got to experience what I really do.
Wow.
You know?
Very interesting. Well, there was one guy, you helped him in his with his back, and his vertebrae just slipped right back into place.
Yeah, that kind of freaked me out. he was in a lot of pain, but I have to say we were in a very heightened energy situation. We had been doing healing work for several days together with a group, And so the frequencies were really high, and he's a healer too. So in a sense, we were both working together. Of course, I had my hands on his back, but, you know, he was working with me, you know, from his end too, I'm sure. And there was a vertebrae out of line, and I just very gently and softly, this is another thing about being in tune with what's going on, the frequency of the person you're working with, you know?
Right.
You just, it's a subtlety. This one was a subtlety. And I put my fingers on his back, and I'm running the energy, almost very laser-like, and I just feeling it and feeling it and feeling it and feeling it. It was as if it was melting back into the body. And it just went back into place.
Wow.
It was, I surprised myself.
So people, if people want to contact you, they can contact you through your website?
They can contact me through my website. I also do have a mailing list. I do sell what I call, send out a bi-monthly, what I call Muse letter. They can get on my mailing list with, just email me at marla@adventurewithin.com.
And that's your website?
Visit me at,
That's your website
as well? The website is adventurewithin.com, but the email address is marla@adventurewithin.com. Or if you're in the Hollywood area and want to sign up for a treatment or just talk to me and have a consultation, the number is 323-697-8719. And also, the Pacific Wellness Group in Hollywood is located at 7864 Willoughby. And that's on the southeast corner of Willoughby and Fairfax, right in the heart of Hollywood.
Wow.
Boy, that sounded like a plug, didn't it?
Well, no, I think it's important that people know that there's alternatives out there, and a lot of people don't realize this. And I mean, we've only got a few minutes left, but what kind of last advice do you want to give people about alternative healing? And I mean, should they be nervous about it? What would you tell them? And
I don't think there's anything to be nervous about. I think you got to want to do it. And the other thing I'd say is that if you do come to me and we do, and as I say, when you work with the energy, you got to be ready to change because you're going to change.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
Again, I see people for many different reasons, whether, you know, there's a lot of negativity going on, you want to change the way you're looking at things, you have personal blocks are getting in the way. I love to do transformational healing, as I call it. If you have any disease or stress going on, you know, if you want, call me, email me, and we can talk about it and see if it's right for you. And just know that wellness is a choice. It really is a choice.
Right,
and everybody's got to take a responsibility for themselves. I work in cooperation with the medical field. I think it's time for us to work closer together. I think there's room for all of it. And I think it's up to the personal individual to make choices wisely of what will work for them.
Wow. Well, Marla, your stories are fascinating. We're pretty much out of time, but
wow, oh, my God, we're out of time. Well, Preston, I want to extend to you a thank you, and I invite you to come over to my place for treatment. My treat.
Oh, really? That would be awesome. I would absolutely love that. Thank you very much. I will definitely accept that offer.
Okay, you
very
got
exciting.
It.
Well, thank you, Marla. Thank you so much for appearing on the show. You were
thank
a wonderful
you, and I
want to
thank everyone, whoever tuned in. Let's hear from you, and thank you for having me.
It's been my pleasure. Believe me, I'm so happy to know there are people like you in the world doing the work that needs to be done.
Thank you, and I'm going to leave you off with my signature line, and that's walk in balance.
Well, thank you all very much for listening. My name is Preston Dennett, and you've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. Our guest tonight has been Marla Phillips, and we've been talking about her very, very interesting work with healing energy. And if you'd like to contact her, you can contact her through her website, which is adventurewithin.com. That's www, of course, .adventurewithin.com, one word. And that's it for tonight. Next week there will be no show, and the week after that, actually, the show is moving to Thursdays. So starting from 7 to 8, Thursdays, and that will be on, of course, November 29th. So I hope you can all join us. The show is still going strong, and thank you all for listening, and I hope you can have a wonderful evening.